Welcome to the All Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Inman, joined by star producer and co-host Chris Brito. Today begins our series of breaking down each division, starting out west with the Pacific Division. We'll get to all the strange situations going on in the NBA, including head coach Ime Udoka and the Celtics. Before we get to all that, Chris, my friend, how are you?
Hey, buddy. I'm here on vacation in Spain, but it's hard to not keep track of everything that's going on with the NBA, considering like the season's only like a few weeks away. But there's just so much happening. And, you know, I'm glad we're starting out with the Pacific Division because it's been headline after headline, especially with the Lakers this whole offseason. So I think it's only fitting for us to start with them in terms of our division preview. So, as you know, the latest thing we know about the Lakers is that they just signed Dennis Schroeder. And I think that was a shrewd get for them, considering they almost signed him to an $80 million contract a few years ago. And he was seemingly on track for them to like become the point guard for them for the future. And I think adding another ball handler for them will be great. At the same token, Bogdan Bogdanovic is going to the Detroit Pistons, and he was a Lakers target. So I think, in essence, this means Russell Westbrook is going to stay with the Lakers and likely be their starting point guard.
Yeah, and we'll break down the entire division in a minute, but let's start with the Suns. Obviously, they're in the big headline right now. Robert Sarver is selling the Suns. We were confused when we talked last week about what is the NBA doing? Are they letting him off easy because he's an owner? The answer to that was probably not. It seems like they had a plan all along to get him out of there. And yeah, he comes out with a statement earlier this week, quote, "In our current unforgiving climate, it has become painfully clear that it is no longer possible that whatever good I have done or could still do is outweighed by things I've said in the past. For those reasons, I'm beginning the process of seeking buyers for both the Suns and the Mercury." So, Chris, does this change your opinion at all on how the NBA handled the Sarver investigation and suspension?
A little bit, just because I think up to this point where Sarver had announced that he was looking to like sell the team, we were all sort of like at a loss of words because the NBA was seemingly so lenient on them, especially Adam Silver, you know, considering how he started with the whole Donald Sterling thing. This seemed like a slap on the wrist. Like, what was it? It was a suspension for 1 year as governor of the team.
And $10 million.
A $10 million fine, which really in the grand scheme of things was a slap on the wrist. And then I see this happen, and then I'm like, you know what? I think this was Adam Silver's way of sort of protecting the integrity of the league without necessarily like putting it in words or putting it in like on the record anywhere. And then, because this was the only logical way for this whole thing to like really unfold, because no way, like, imagine the Suns win a championship this year or next year, and then you have Sarver there tarnishing like the whole like moment. And I think it does give me like a little bit more of like, okay, you know what? Maybe the NBA did handle it this way, but like, it's tough to connect the dots. It's tough to say like, oh yeah, the NBA was behind all this, because we just don't really know.
We don't know, but I would say based on the Silver press conference, which was confusing, it was a confusing press conference where he's talking to reporters and he's basically saying, we did our full investigation, we left some stuff out of the report, and you're going to have to just trust me why we did that. And everyone's kind of confused. What are you talking about? Why would you leave stuff out of the report? Why are you telling us to trust you? Like, he's basically saying like, there's more to come. And all of a sudden, within a week, statement comes out, he's leaving the team. And whether the NBA forced him out or not, they clearly knew something was going to happen when he went to that press conference and when they made this suspension. So it made me go from thinking they let him off easy to they dealt with this the best way they could. And I give them total credit with that. And I think Adam Silver continues to be the best commissioner in sports by a long shot. And sometimes it seems like he's a little too easy on players and owners, but if he had something to do with getting a guy to have to sell his own team, then I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really great point that you made, Steve, because in the grand scheme of things, like, no owner wants to sell the team if he doesn't necessarily want to. And I think this was the only path forward where, you know, there's like, there isn't more like red tape or like other layers to it.
And like, for like, if you forget the off the field stuff for half a second and you think about the Suns on the court under Sarver, this has been one of the worst organizations in the sport the last 10, 15 years. And they finally get good. They get Chris Paul and he's leading them to an NBA finals. They were one of the favorites last year. They're one of the favorites this year. And he's not going to be part of that. And so it's real. I mean, obviously you don't feel bad for him considering the things that have come out, but it definitely was not by choice for an owner to sell his team at the peak of their power.
Oh, for sure. And I think the value of the Suns has never been higher. You have, you know, the infrastructure there in terms of a star player in Devin Booker. You have Chris Paul, obviously, like you just mentioned. And then, you know, you have your coach, and then you have a lot of different, like, young pieces like Mikal Bridges and Ayton and, you know, Cam and everyone. And, like, right now, the Suns are, like, a hot commodity right now. I mean, no pun intended, obviously, but...
Yeah, that's good.
All things considered, like, that's a team that I would love to go by, especially on the West Coast, Phoenix. You know, we hear it all the time, like, where, like, you know, people are moving. We have friends who moved to the Phoenix area. Like, it's just it just seems like a very great investment, whoever ends up being the buyer for that.
Now, Forbes the other day came out and said they estimate a franchise value right now at $1.8 billion. But NBA franchises don't come for sale every day. They don't really come for sale every year. There's only 30 of them. I would think they're going to get over $2 billion for it. So, yes, it's, you know, from Robert Sarver's perspective, it's upsetting that he's being, not only he's forced to sell his team, but he's being pushed into selling his team at the peak of their power. But at the same time, you're going to get $2 billion out of this. So he is hardly a victim in this.
I mean, for sure not. And, like, I think the spin against the NBA will be, oh yeah, well, he's still going to be $2 billion richer. But I think when you're in, like, a sort of position where you are in, like, the NBA and all these things, like, even though Sarver was caught saying all these different things, well, different people corroborating what he had said that was improper, it's just, like, hard to really finagle out of that, like, without, like, becoming a much deeper and bigger issue, you know?
Yeah.
Or a legal battle that'll last very, like, a long time.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. And I, you know, whether you agree with them or not, most people agree with them getting rid of Sarver, right? But either way, it seems like it's a cloud lifted from Phoenix. It seems like they can finally move. You know, they're going to get a lot of questions about this in training camp, but the questions are a lot easier to answer now that the guy is leaving, for sure. But Chris, let's get to the fun stuff. Let's talk about some over-unders. This is our first division. We're going to do one in every show for the next six shows, starting here with the Pacific Division. I like starting here. You like starting here. I think this is the best division in the sport. I think you have legit 4, maybe 5 potential playoff teams, depending on how things go with Sacramento. But let's start with Phoenix. Over under 52.5 wins. They danced around the Ayton stuff for a while. They wind up bringing him back on the max. They matched the Pacer offer. And it's pretty much the same team as last year. 52.5 wins. What do you think?
Over. I think it's an over for me because I think one of the most underrated qualities or values in the NBA is just like sustainability and stability. And I think as long as Chris Paul is healthy and Chris Paul continues on the trajectory, Devin Booker continues on the trajectory that he's been in as one of the premier guards in the NBA, there's no reason for me to think that they can go over this number.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going over as well. And, you know, Chris Paul has, you know, slowed down in recent years in terms of ramping up the minutes, and yet they still really haven't missed a beat. Devin Booker missed some time last year. They didn't miss a beat. And when those two guys are healthy, they're almost unbeatable. So they've been just unbelievable. And I think I'm not the biggest Ayton guy, but I believe he can continue to get better. And if he is what he is, I think there's a chance they can wind up trading him for maybe a power forward who fits better. And so I think they're still going to be in a very good position long term.
Wait, did you just say like they trade Ayton?
I said I think like maybe at the deadline, if Ayton is not, you know, content with being a Phoenix Sun, I could see a scenario where they're flipping him and picks for a all-star. But again, they're only going to do something like that if they're not leading the West. If they're a five seed flailing around, I think they might consider something like that. They considered doing it last year with the Pacers. They were talking a big deal then. So I don't think Ayton is glued to the floorboard as one of these franchise pillars in Phoenix, but that's only going to happen if they're not hitting all these expectations.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our first bold prediction of the season.
They might trade him. I mean, I'm not saying they will, but I think it's possible.
I think based on what you're saying, I think they might trade him, but it's okay.
They might trade him. That's all I said. All right. Clippers. 52.5 wins here, too. They're tied with the Suns for the most in the division. Obviously, the big talk here after basically taking the year off last year is Paul George fully healthy, Kawhi Leonard fully healthy. They have 10 million really good wings and not sure what else. They brought in John Wall as maybe a bench guy, maybe a starter. We're not really too sure. 52.5 wins. What do you think?
I'm having a little bit of pause with this one just because, you know, they say Kawhi is healthy. They say he got an upgrade. But I think I'm going to go over on this one. I'm a big believer in the Clippers, and I think this is the year they get it all together. Whether they last long in the playoffs is a different story.
Yeah, I'm taking the under as well. I mean, it's been years since we've seen Kawhi Leonard fully healthy for a whole season. We've seen even when they're healthy, they're taking games off. They're taking weeks off, and I don't know if that's the right bet for a team that's focused on winning a championship. I don't think they really care whether they're the one seed or the six seed. And for a team coming off of serious injuries for both their stars, I would not bank on them taking the regular season too seriously. So I think we're both right there with the under. The defending champs, somehow third in the division, 51.5 Golden State, over or under?
Oh, easily. Over. I'd cash that bet right now.
Well, you still can. I think it's weird that we're all on the same page here, but I'm going to go over as well. I think the young guys are going to give a little bit of a spark here. Steph Curry is still an MVP candidate. It'll be a full year off the injury for Klay Thompson. He should be better both offensively and defensively. And then if you get anything close to prime Draymond, this is a great, great team. So I think they're going to be great again.
I mean, plus you have Wiseman now, and you have, some of the additions they brought in, like, and then you have a healthy Klay Thompson now, like, yeah. You didn't have a healthy Klay to like very like end into the season last year, so like, that's gonna be a welcome addition. I mean, during the regular season.
All right, you mentioned them before. They added Dennis Schroeder. It seems like Russell Westbrook is here to stay. Lakers 45.5.
I'm gonna go over. I'm going to go over because I think we have really underplayed the whole, there's still LeBron. there's if you have a healthy Anthony Davis, it changes the whole trajectory of this whole Lakers franchise. And they, I like the pieces they've added. I would have liked for them to get like someone like Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic. But by all intents and purposes, I don't think they're as bad as everyone likes to make them to be. I'm curious to see how things are under Ham. But I'm going to go over with that one for me.
I'm taking the under here. I think this is a group that, I know this is a group that won 33 games last year. And so basically you're saying this is the exact same team. And can they add 13 more wins? I don't know. I don't think Russell Westbrook can fit in. I think he, in his head, is an MVP still. And he's not going to really adjust to other people's games. And because of that, I just don't really see this being much different than last year. LeBron is another year older. Davis is another year older. And unfortunately, I think the Lakers are good. Their big story for the year is just going to be LeBron breaking the scoring record. I really don't see this really as a relevant team all the way through fighting for a playoff spot. I think they're going to be fighting for a play-in spot in the, you know, low 40s, high 30s number.
So basically what I'm gathering is that you don't believe in the Lakers at all.
I believe they will be a train wreck because that's what they've been. That's what they've been. That was what they were last year. And all they really did was flip coaches. And I think they really need fundamental changes. I think they got to find more shooting, which every LeBron team figures out sooner rather than later. Oh, we got to surround LeBron with shooters. And the only one that hasn't is the Lakers. And they had shooters. They lost the shooters. They traded them all for Westbrook. And Westbrook is not adjusted. And I think there's a better chance that the Lakers wind up sending Westbrook home halfway through the year than they do of having him contribute to winning.
I mean, that's really sad when you consider the whole state of like the Lakers, who are like historically one of the best franchises in the NBA, but like also one of the most like polarizing in terms of like how it's run.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do think that if the whole Russell Westbrook thing, I feel like they're overcomplicating it more than it should be. Like, he clearly can't be a starter anymore. And so the way around is like, you make him a bench player, you make him the sixth man or seventh man off the bench.
And you know what? Who knows? Maybe tomorrow they go, all right, enough's enough. We're trading Westbrook to Indiana for Hield and Turner. We'll give up our two first round picks. And then all of a sudden, I would probably take the over here. They're not that far off from 45 wins, not that many wins, but I just don't see that happening right now. All right, last team, the Sacramento Kings, 32 and a half wins. They had a summer league darling, Keegan Murray, added to the team. They took him with the fourth overall pick over our guy, Jaden Ivey. And that was pretty much their offseason. Fox, Sabonis, Murray. What do you think of this squad?
I mean, I really like them. I like their, I like the draft pick they added. And I think that like with Keegan, maybe it brings more stability to that, like, you know, seemingly revolving door of like guard, like a small forward guard position that they have there. And I think this is a big year for Fox. I think this is a year of whether like he's someone who can be a star player in this league or someone who is just like just a guy who like can be really good on a mediocre team at best. So it's going to be a really telling year for the Kings, like whether we like it or not. Like, the Kings are right now in a prime position to like be either a playoff or like a play-in team. And if they don't figure it out this year, like, I don't know, man, it's going to be a really hard place to be in Sacramento because they're seemingly in a perpetual state of rebuilding and they still haven't figured it out.
No, and they still haven't, unfortunately. But I still think I like their talent enough to say 32 wins. Like you're saying, will they not have a 50 loss season? And I think they're going to be right around that play-in number for the most of the year, kind of similar to the Lakers. I think it's going to be those two teams kind of battling it out for 8, 9, 10 in the West. And I think their numbers should be a lot closer to each other than
I do feel now that with a whole year with Sabonis with the Kings, like he to me is a floor raiser. And I think that they can do better than 30 wins, like at 32, more than 32 wins, as you said.
Yeah, but that's the division. How many playoff teams do you see? Let's say playoff play-in, the 10. How many of them are from this division?
Okay, so I do think the Lakers are a playoff team. It's just a matter of the other ones in the other divisions. I think I count Minnesota. I think I'll count New Orleans. Memphis. Who am I missing here?
Dallas.
So that's 8. Who would the two other ones be? Not Houston, obviously.
Not Houston, not San Antonio.
Not Oklahoma City.
Not Utah. So they're really competing with Portland. That's so really the only other one.
So those are 9 and 10, right?
Yeah.
So yes, I see
talking about the Lakers, Sacramento, Portland. They're all competing basically for those last spots. One will not make it.
Yikes.
With 4 tanking teams.
Yikes.
So I'm going to say they both make it. I think, you know, the way it always shakes out is somebody loses their player. Somebody's going to lose their star, unfortunately, to an injury. And then that team will go, you know what? Why don't we get involved in the Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson sweepstakes? And I think the Kings and the Lakers will be the beneficiaries of that. I think all 5 make the at least the play-in they'll have after regular season basketball. So that's the division. Anybody has a specific division they want us to go over next, make sure to leave it in our comments on YouTube or on our Twitter when we put this link up, and we will do that division next. So Chris, why don't we get to a strange situation with the MA Udoka suspension from Woj. Udoka is likely facing a suspension for the entire 2022-2023 season for his role in a consensual relationship with a female staff member, sources tell ESPN. A formal announcement is expected soon. What do we think?
Okay, so I think the general sentiment first is like, how do you cheat on Nia Long? First of all, like, that deserves a suspension in itself. But with the matter of what led to this harsh punishment, it's kind of tough to say because we don't know everything. But, you know, there have been rumors around on Twitter and social media. I won't indulge in those, but, like, it has to be something really serious. And I wonder if it involves someone maybe high ranking or anything like that, because a reaction like that isn't like typical. I mean, we've seen consensual sort of relationships before in the NBA, and I don't think I've ever seen that before. Yeah. I wonder even if it's a reaction to the Sarver thing.
I don't think it has anything to do with the Sarver thing. I think for them to bring in this kind of distraction, for them to get a coach who could have won Coach of the Year, could win Coach of the Year next year, to push him aside for a year, this must be really bad. For them to be like, the NBA is not suspending him. The Celtics are. So for the Celtics to hurt themselves in this way, it must be bad. And we have no idea what it is, but I'm sure it's not good, and it's going to come out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I feel like the more days like they let people marinate on it, the worse it sort of like looks like. It's almost like if whoever leaked it, like why did you leak it if you didn't intend on announcing what it was? 'Cause like all it makes it
Maybe they
seem
don't know what to do with them yet.
what?
Maybe they don't know what to do with them yet.
Okay, so then don't leak it.
Right. Yeah. Fair. That's
Like
fair.
this was like clearly from someone from that front office leaking it.
Yeah.
So it's like, so you wanted to break the news, but like you sort of like leave everybody else scrambling and like potentially harassing the female staffers on the Boston Celtics. So then why the hell would you leak it? Like it makes no sense. And so now, like I totally get getting in front of the story because that's what I guess what the Celtics were trying to do. But like, yeah, you're in front of the story now, but you're sort of like standing in front of the line naked and exposing yourself, not really like taking care of what you need to take care of. And now like your head coaching situation is in peril, right?
Yeah.
You have these female staffers who are like being targeted or like being like sort of like the aim of like curiosity or targets or whatever. And then you have the whole like you're sort of like derailing the Celtic situation now.
That's the point, though. Like, if you're derailing the season, potentially. They better believe he deserves this and then some.
Yeah,
It's
and
also weird because like it's a year suspension. So if they're bad, they're gonna blame him and he'll be on the hot seat coming back. And if they're good without him, people are not gonna think he should get the job back.
well, that's the thing too. Like, you really can't go. Like, you're sort of at the point of no return, right? Like, you've been like, you as a coach just got your legs cut off. Like, you just got like your authority is undermined right now.
It's going to be fascinating to see why this happened, and we will figure that out soon, hopefully before our next show. Chris, let's get to our final thoughts right after this. All right, Chris, final thoughts time here. Bogdan Bogdanovic traded to the Pistons. I was a little surprised here, Chris. For one, it didn't take a first-round pick. Only Danny Ainge favorite Kelly Olynyk, along with Sabin Lee, to make the salaries work. And then two, the Pistons are going for it a little bit here. They're trying to be a little frisky.
I like it for them. I think someone like him will like really complement to like the Cades and the Ivies and the Sadiq Bays. Like, what a fun team, man. Like, I wish in some regards like the Knicks sort of like were patient for like one or two more years.
Well, remember, this was a group that 3 years, was it 3 years ago, was going nowhere. They had Drummond on a max, they had Griffin on a max, and they had Reggie Jackson, and they were like, all right, we could battle for an 8 seed again, or we can just blow this thing up. They blew it up, they got rid of everybody, and they won a number one draft, which obviously takes a lot of luck, and they used that to get Cade, and then they drafted well in Sadiq Bey, and then they drafted Ivy. So yes, it's about luck, but it's also about just putting yourself in a position to get lucky by doing that. Because you were going nowhere. Now all of a sudden, here they are with this fun young team that could be on the rise.
So that's my point, right? Like, it makes you sort of reevaluate. And like, I'm not of the belief that like obviously the Knicks shouldn't have rewarded losing or anything like that, but like, there's a lot to be said about the Knicks in terms of like not playing the young guys and like not figuring that out. And like, who knows? We could have like boosted their value for like a Donovan Mitchell trade that never happened, right? But like, I think generally speaking, like maybe the reason why Utah never pulled the trigger with us because like a lot of our guys are kind of unknown. Like they've been solid in spots, but like, can you really say that one of those guys is a starter in the NBA? Maybe
No.
besides quickly.
You can say that about Sadiq Bey, who wouldn't have gotten that opportunity here. You probably you know, we'll be able to say that about Ivy, who's going to get plenty of run this year too.
Right. And like, you could argue that the Pistons probably have, between them, Orlando, like, have some of like the hot, like some of the better, like, up and coming teams in the East right now. You know, like, Orlando has a bright future. They have some nice pieces, and like, you know, all it took was like being patient one more season. Like, if the Knicks were maybe patient one more season, maybe this is a, you know, we could have paired RJ Barrett with you know, I don't know, somebody else, right? Instead we have Grimes, who, like, as great as he is, we don't know what he is.
No, I'm with you. It's disappointing, but I'm hoping this year is different. Maybe Thibodeau will be forced to play the young guys.
That's what I'm expecting. I mean, I'm hoping, really.
And speaking of young guys, Jordan Poole extension talks with the Warriors are going to start next month. I find this fascinating because for whatever reason, there was no real market about moving teams with him at all. It seems like he's committed to being a Warrior. And they must have told him they were going to pay him, because it seems weird that he didn't, his age, like, there's been no talk of Poole at all anywhere else. And for a guy who's probably due somewhere around $20 million a year, that tax hit is going to be crazy. He's going to be like a $60, $70 million a year player. And so for them to do that, one, ownership deserves credit. And two, you know, it's just unbelievable that they're willing to do that. So, you know, there was really no talk of trading him at all.
I mean, I love the idea of bringing him back, just because he is the epitome of, like, that next generation of the Warriors system. At the same time, it's like, wow, man, the Warriors are in a special spot, because really the window is closing by the minute, and like, Jordan Poole was obviously a big part of their finals run last year, so like, it's completely justified. I wouldn't blame them, like, whatever price they end up giving Poole in the price range that you listed. But anyway, it's a lot of money. I mean, I would have loved Poole to give, like, if we didn't get Brunson, I would have loved Poole like to give him a chance to, like, start for the Knicks or something like that.
Absolutely. That would have been nice. He's not a point guard. He's probably more of a six man or a two, but he's a good player. And I'm surprised nobody tried to even pry him loose out of there. And yeah. All right, Chris, anything else before we wrap the show?
No, man, that's it. I mean, you know, we only have a few more weeks left for the Knicks and Knicks season opener. And, you know, I missed the NBA. I was telling you earlier, I saw like some like, so I'm in Spain. So they were rerunning like an old Barcelona Real Madrid basketball game from 3 years ago. So Facundo Campuzano was on it. Nicola. Campazzo, yes. Nico Mirotic was on it. And it's like, this is considered the second best league in the NBA. And like, the first quarter score was like, I don't know, 15 to like 17 or 18, whatever it was. I was like, I really miss the NBA.
Yeah, it'll be back here soon. We're less than 30 days away now. So very excited about that. That is going to do it for us here on the All Hoops podcast. Great time as always with you, Chris.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll be back next week to talk about a new NBA division.
Yes, sir. Bye, everyone.